listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen call-in show, Empowered Communication. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the officer of the WAN Institute. The WAN Institute is a nonprofit organization that has been supported and sponsored for the groundbreaking relationship work of world-renowned psychotherapist Dr. Pat Allen for more than 40 years. Tonight, we have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer any relationship or work questions. Before we get started, I want to give you the call-in number. The phone number to call in for questions is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you want to call the office to make appointments or to check availability on having one of the coaches help you through any kind of relationship issues, the call-in number for the office is 949-723-0338. And our email is info@drpatallen.com. I just want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. Dr. Pat Allen started the WAN Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid the damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. Some of the things Dr. Pat Allen teaches is about male-female relationships have often been called politically incorrect, but they are scientifically accurate, and they work. The WAN Institute currently provides facilitator/coaches that offer monthly ladies' groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WAN training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. So if you want any information regarding the WAN Institute services, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. And again, we'd love to have your call in for questions. The phone number to call in is 323-203-0815. Tonight we have Andy Shaw. He's been a guest on the show a few times. He was trained as a communication relationship coach by Dr. Pat Allen. Andy, are you available?
Hi, Sue. Of course I am. How are you?
I'm good. So it's getting to be around the holidays where a lot of either the relationships go bad or the relationships push forward. We can start with that. If any caller out there is having any good luck with relationships or having breakups, please feel free to give us a call. What's your intake on the holidays as far as dating and relating?
The holidays are high stress for dating, especially if you're not sure that you want to spend more time with this person. And for me, it's been a defining point. The holidays, Christmas, Valentine's Day, those are the two ones that you go, well, to either go big or go home. And sadly, some of us decided to go home.
Well, you would think that, though, with all of the parties going on and the activities, people would kind of meet people at these functions and events.
Yeah, there's meeting and then there's communicating and chemistry and compatibility and blemishing.
Yeah, and then sometimes there's a lot of alcohol involved at these parties.
And that doesn't help either.
As Dr. Pat says, when women drink, they knock out their feelings and go into their logic. And when men drink, they knock out their logic to go into their feelings. Is that her quote?
Yeah. And then when you're thinking you're with somebody and you're drinking and it's all going well, and then you get sober and you go, wait a minute, you're way more masculine or conversely more feminine than I thought you were, and what's happening?
It's usually when the women drink. Dr. Pat warns women because when they drink, they knock out their feelings and get into their masculine, and sometimes they become really, really aggressive, and then they're always getting the calls about what they did, and we said, was alcohol involved? Yes. And that was the answer that we needed to hear. They overtook and said things they probably shouldn't have said because they were a little bit too intoxicated. So be careful if you're in a relationship or just starting one. Drinking can turn you into a different person that you might not like, or the other person might not like either. You might say or do things. So do you have any questions on your end from anybody that you know of or want to share?
Sure. I'll talk about instance I heard about recently.
Okay.
Which is somebody at their work.
Yes.
Had a what they thought was an agreement, but it didn't work out.
Was it a verbal agreement or a written, or was it some kind of a contract?
It was all verbal, and it was work-related. Should have been in, at least in part, in writing.
Okay.
The agreement had. And this person was very eager to help, but didn't put any of that stuff in writing, as you know, is required for the environment.
Uh-huh.
You know, when things went south and blame went around.
Okay.
They kind of did an after-action report to themselves, lessons learned, and figured out that they didn't do all the part that they could have done. And so I want to talk about communications and boundaries and how important it is to start at the outset of any new relationship, regardless if it's at work, at home, personal, professional, intimate, mm-hmm. what have you. And what advice would you give to anybody starting anything out? Like, do you start with boundaries? Do you start with
things? I start with communication. I offer the ladies groups, and I have a great group of women. But unfortunately, when they date men, they don't communicate that they want to be married, and they don't communicate specific things, so they get stuck in relationships that are heading nowhere because they didn't start at the beginning to negotiate it. So I would have to say communication is the start, but again, a lot of times people, they kind of assume or that things are set up, you know, they might talk. In your situation, was somebody asked somebody to work and they said yes, but you didn't pinpoint the days and hours? That wasn't confirmed?
Yeah, days, hours. There was just way too many assumptions, I think, on both parties.
Okay, on both sides. So nobody had a clear, one person had an idea of what hours they were going to work, and the other person had an idea, but the two didn't collide. They didn't match each other. So everybody was, well, I was going to work this, and they said, we wanted you to work this.
Yeah. Right, and due dates were
oh, so then there's due dates that were due. So when the due dates were missed, did the owners or the people that offered the job get mad at the person they employed to do it?
They did, because the hours were never discussed.
So
not early to him, but what was he'd already planned. And it was unknown to the other party. So again, both parties are at fault.
Okay, so was there payment made? Because in some cases, you know, if the project wasn't completed, no payment is due. But was the payment paid ahead of time and then having to refund it back to the employer?
In that arena, payment was made for the time spent.
Oh, the time spent. Okay.
Yeah.
And it then, wasn't enough current costs. Okay.
Right. And then once things kind of went sideways, they parted ways.
Was it a win-win for parting ways, or was there somebody that was angry and upset?
Somebody was angry and upset, yes.
Okay. Well, we can't please everybody, and it's business, and sometimes business deals go bad, and whoever was the employee, I'm sure he did the best he could with the resources he had. And whenever you hire anybody to help you, it's always a risk if the job gets done. You know that when businesses hire people, they might go through a lot of what candidates that are qualified, but they don't perform. So there's always a risk when you're the employer.
And of course, this relates in relationships where you're dating and you're boyfriend or girlfriend might be the employee in this scenario. And not all employees work out.
Well, Dr. Pat also says when you're, you know, when you're in a relationship, you keep business and relationship separate. Do not mix them up. Do not be sitting on the couch watching Netflix and start talking about work on a one-on-one time. If you want to talk business, you go to the table and make a specific time, because everybody's masculine when they're talking work. And if you start to commingle and mix work with relationship, you'll lose the polarity of one being feminine and one being masculine. You'll pull in both masculine too much. So that's the Dr. Pat always said, that's the danger, polarity. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was always define one area of the house, it's business.
Yes.
And when you go to that area, it's always business. So the table has got to be the table that's for business, not like for dinner.
And she also said, remember she said, put on the hat so you're identified as this is work? I remember her, she said, go to the table and put on a hat that specifies this is a work meeting. Some symbol to make sure you're in your work mode.
Yeah, some visual indicator of where you're actually at.
Yeah.
So maybe you have a scroll that you unroll. We're at XYZ Corp today.
You would be surprised how many women, you know, they're high-powered executive women. They come home and they want to talk about their work with their boyfriend or spouse. And I say, no, don't do that. Just give them the highlights, you know. You know, it was a rough day, blah, blah, blah. But don't give them a blow-by-blow detail of what you did at work, because then they see you as one of the coworkers, you're going male to male. And then he loses his interest with you. That's very important that people don't understand. Don't share a lot of work business with your spouse or boyfriend.
Yeah, it definitely blurs the lines. And it's easier to go not be in the relationship. So that's where people, I think, why the reason why they do what they do is lose that intimacy. Is because the other part is where you survive.
That's true. So if you eventually only in your relationship only talk about work and money, you're both in your male. So it ruins the intimacy of the polarity. You need the yin and yang, masculine and feminine, to draw the energies of complementing each other. If there's too masculine, they'll burn each other out. If there's too feminine, which I've actually had a woman that came in and they were actually, her boyfriend was feminine and she was feminine, nobody made any moves. They just sat there waiting for somebody to move. I said, this is a perfect example of two females staring at each other.
I think Dr. Pat says, what do you feel like doing? I don't know. What do you feel like doing? And then it goes back and forth. And
no one And they're like, well, he won't make any decisions. And then she goes, and I'm not going to make any decision and be the leader. I said, yeah, how does it feel? Two chicks sitting there, one's both trying to get somebody to step up. I go, that's now you see it in action. Everybody laughs. Yeah. So unfortunately, talking about the holiday, let me throw out if they're callers. Please call us, even if you just want to check in, 323-203-0815. So holidays, I always thought it was the time for couples to get together. But unfortunately, I've had in my ladies groups three breakups. One of them was 3 years long. Another one was a year. And the other one was a year, just kind of like the men broke up. So it's, you know, and the women are distraught. So they have to do the 8 weeks and, you know, they're always going, no, I have four breakups. Yeah. And they're always analyzing what did I do to cause it? I said, you didn't do anything. As long as you did your part, we don't know what his part was. Maybe he wasn't happy with it, or we don't know. It takes two people in a relationship to make it work. And most of these women think that they're in charge of making sure they're doing all the work. And that's the problem with a lot of the masculine women. They feel it's their fault all the time, that they have to run both sides of the relationship. And it's exhausting. What's your take on that? You know, you hear Dr. Pat in her seminars, these masculine women, go in there, try to fix the man, work the relationship, make sure everything's smooth. They're burned out. Then they get angry and resentful. And then they want to know what happened and think it was their fault.
Well, you know, it's always two people, right? You got the masculine women, but the other person has to be less masculine than what they might like.
Yes.
So, on the one hand, you got someone who's trying to take the relationship forward. On the other hand, you got someone that will just use the female with the male energy and the male with the female feminine energy, not stepping up and probably being frustrated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think there's a part, at least me, when I was that way more, a desire to have honor and nobility in that. When you get to the holidays, in particular Christmas and Valentine's Day, is if you're not feeling it, you don't want to lie to yourself or to them. And so you break it off. But that also indicates a weaker relationship, a weaker communication scenario. So he's not stepping up. She's not available to receive because maybe he wants to talk. And she's like, no, if you don't do it my way, no, we're not doing it.
And yeah.
You hear enough of that. You're like, okay, well, we're not doing it your way, so we're not doing it, period. So it really matters when you set that tone, when anybody sets that tone, what those ramifications might be later.
Uh-huh.
So the controlling is a problem. I mean, it has a purpose.
Yes.
But in a relationship, it can also drive the person away.
That I have some women, you're absolutely correct, that want to force the other person to go to therapy, even though he says he's fine, nothing's wrong. She wants him to come down to her house more, move down to her house, even though he likes his house. It's just some women push to get what they want in order to fix the relationship, but the other person is the one that may like the way it is right there. So that's part of the negotiation. Incompatibility. If one person wants to live in the desert and one person wants to live by the beach, that's going to be incompatibility. So if one person bends to give in to the other person, they may start getting resentful. And incompatibility, that's the deal breaker sometimes. Unless maybe you can make an arrangement to, you know, half the year in one place, half the year in the other place. But some people, one person's retired, one person still wants to work. That's incompatibility.
Yeah, I also think when people want to control, they do it in a, this is just my theory too.
Yeah, you're right. One lady say, "Well, I'll provide him his income as if he would to work." And I'm thinking, "Oh, that's not going to settle well."
Well, I think that's the difference between managing a relationship and leading a relationship.
Yeah.
Control is a lot of management, which doesn't leave a lot of room for leadership.
Yeah.
And true leadership allows for interaction.
Yeah. Now, if a man was being paid by his girlfriend, there would probably be some strings attached. You know, he who has the gold makes the rules. I said that probably won't go over because you're going to feel like you're paying for his time and he's going to feel like he owes you. I go, that's going to be a very tricky setup there.
Yeah. And if you don't communicate that early on and agree to it early on.
He already said he doesn't want that. But somehow she wants to explain and defend the reasons that it would work.
Yeah, again, management versus leadership. Well, you're top down, this is what we're doing, or top down, this is what we're doing, but we want feedback ahead of time.
That's true. So it all is, you know, you can design any relationship you want. You know, there's people that, like Pat has had, airline stewardesses that each are ported in different, you know, they're hub is in different places and they may see each other only 3 times a month, like on weekends. And other people think that's not a marriage or relationship, but if it works for them, it is. You design your relationship. I have too many women going, is it normal to do blah, blah, blah? I go, whatever you want, whatever you set up, it's fine. One of the movie stars, she's married, but they both live in separate houses.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, she was married to the, I can't think of her name now. Yeah, it's old age, you get this, you forget. she was married to the singer of Coldplay. She's got the long blonde hair.
You're not talking Avril Lavigne, are you?
No, she's a blonde and she has the makeup line, Juicy, she's into that.
I don't know. I'm terrible at this.
Oh, God, I thought I'll remember later. But anyway, she has a marriage where they both live in separate houses and they kind of come over and spend the night once or twice a week and it works. So whatever works for you guys, you set it up.
Yeah, society does not, society wants to impose, I guess.
Yes.
What they think is normal, but really, society doesn't have to live in your house.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Make your own life, design your own house. If one person doesn't like coffee, my experience, my ex doesn't like smell coffee, but I love coffee. If we had our way, we would have worked. We could have made two kitchens on the other side of the house and ate dinner in one, and I could have coffee in the other.
That's true. Whatever you want. Yeah. I've heard all the stories with Dr. Pat. Yeah. Speaking of which, Dr. Pat's 91. She's still up kicking. She lives down in San Diego. My older sister takes care of her. I would have her on the radio show, but her hearing is bad. And on the radio, you need your hearing or at least to see people to read their lips. So unfortunately, that's why I've taken over this position. And unfortunately, we are a nonprofit and we take donations. So this month, unfortunately, with sad news, we're going to have to make it the last month of our recordings due to low donations. So I think our recordings will still be up for a while. But you can still reach out to the Juan Institute for any services. But sadly, the radio shows are going to discontinue and hopefully can come back when we build up our donation funds. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit. So any donations are tax deductible if you want to donate to the Juan Institute to keep Dr. Pat's legacy and her work alive. We'd appreciate it. Do you have any comments on that, Andy?
We request money.
Well, I don't make it like it sound that hard. We had a big supporter, but they were going through a lot of difficulty this year. So unfortunately there's a snowball reaction down the chain of command here. So I've got another person that's talking to me about donations. So that's what we do rely on. I do ladies groups at a reduced fee. And that goes into the Juan Institute, but that's not enough to cover all the expenses. But we are here to help, as Dr. Pat always wanted to do, was to help the community and help men and women learn this information for a loving, what did she call it? How did she quote it? Loving each other.
For a better world, for sure.
For a better world, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just know that Dr. Pat and the Juan Institute want to be of use and want to keep going for as long as they are of use and provide value.
That's true. And, we offer this for people to call in. We don't get a lot of callers, but I do know that people are listening because they do email me about what they heard. And even years back, Dr. Pat has been on. So all that information is valuable. To listen to. It's like the drip theory. You listen to it over and over and over. And even with my ladies groups, they come in, usually it takes about a year. A lot of these women have been in these groups for 2 to 3 years. They've been through marriages, divorces, having kids. The kids are now 3 and they're navigating it. It's kind of a support thing to keep you on track. This isn't a quick fix. You know, you can read a book. It's kind of like I describe it like a surgeon. You can read all the material on how to fix things, but you still have to do the internship like a doctor. He can read all the material on surgery, but he still has to go in and do the surgery with practice. So all of this stuff that Dr. Pat teaches about relationships and understanding the feminine and masculine energy, Dr. Pat Allen's duty dating theory, boundaries and self-respect, and insecurity patterns and self-sabotage, and then a lot of people, the attachment styles and inner child work. These all take work, and I help the women navigate through that, because what you learned when you were growing up in your family origin goes through on how you pick your men. If you had inconsistency, where you were ignored, or even if you were told to be a performer, and you had to eliminate your emotions in order to make peace with mom and dad, because you never knew, you know, you would be walking around on eggshells. This all affects you when you pick the men in your life. You pick similar men that's familiar with you grow up. So it's important that you learn your inner child wounds.
I got a question about that.
What?
I was reading an article today, actually.
Yeah.
About a young girl who had a dysfunctional and toxic parents.
Yeah.
She got divorced. And the mother remarried to a stepfather. And the daughter, I think, was 15 or 16 at the time.
Yes.
When the stepfather would step up and protect the daughter confused it with romantic interest.
Oh, because when you're 16, you've kind of already got your tape recorder's messages in your brain. You're like when your children, your little tape recorders, getting all the messages that you hear from mom and dad, society, and it's imprinted. It's like you're wiring your brain. So 16, she may have already been imprinted on a bad childhood. Maybe her parents they were inconsistent, or they may have been emotionally unavailable. And if they got a divorce, maybe they were fighting so much that this little child didn't participate or get the love she needed to nurture her.
That's exactly it. And then when he's come around and he'd protect her and, you know, fight for her, and then she confused what he was doing with what she thought he was doing.
Oh.
But later on figured out that that's what a healthy parent does. He never had it of his own.
Yeah,
he
never had it. So did she take his advice and end up getting a healthy guy? Did it work at 16?
Well, it worked. It took a while to learn.
Yeah.
And it took a while to unwind. And then, but it helped her find a man who was healthier and knew how to give love freely and communicate. And then she credits him with, one, walking down the aisle, because that's what he'd earned that. And also she credited him with having a better relationship with her children, because she understood the difference between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy.
Okay. Yeah. So what I've just got is, see, one thing is, you don't attract from your age, you attract men from your wounds. When inner child wounds are unhealed, you subconsciously choose partners who recreate the emotional climate you grew up with. And some of the examples are, if love felt inconsistent, you pick inconsistent men. If you had to earn affection, your parents always wanted you to do better or better, you can do better. You pick men you have to prove yourself to. If you felt unseen, they just ignored you, you pick emotionally unavailable men. If you weren't nurtured and loved, you pick men who need you more than they give to you. I mean, you're doing all the work. So inner child work rewrites this pattern. It rewires your brain. So inner child work changes your chemistry. Your body associates love with what's familiar, not what's healthy. So inner child work, it helps calm the nervous system, breaks trauma bond attraction, makes security connections feel safe instead of boring, helps you stop confusing chaos with chemistry, and softens your fear of stable men. You start to feel drawn to men who feel regulated, not dramatic. I get this in the ladies group. They always want to go with the chemistry of inconsistency, the ups and downs, the ups and downs. They have to have the chemistry, but the chemistry is what was familiar growing up. And they don't want the stable, boring guy because it's too unfamiliar from their childhood. And Dr. Pat always used to say, go with the boring guy so you can desensitize and that try to make the boring, safe, stable guy familiar. But it's hard to get these women to do it. It's so hard. They just keep going round after round with the unstable guys. And I'm now working on having them work through their inner child wounds because they all basically had either alcoholic parents, parents that made them be the parents, abandoned them, inconsistency. Some even said, one lady said that her father even told her, I don't want to love you. I don't want to get attached to you. That would be a real trauma bond to this woman too, as far as being with a man. It's pretty sad, but I've heard them all. So picking men as Dr. Pat, when you have a healthy father, he's the umbrella on the men that you'll pick for your relationship. So if you had a healthy, nurturing, cherishing man who took care of your feelings and showed you what a good relationship is, you will pick good, stable men. If you had an inconsistency, chaotic, alcoholic, performance-based, you're going to pick that type in a man. I guess it works with men, too, if it's the same thing. It's usually the men are influence the mothers. So if the men had an overbearing mom, guess who he picks?
The overbearing woman.
The overbearing mom, which he doesn't like, and he tortures her. Remember, you hear that all the time?
I think I lived part of that.
Oh, did you have an overbearing mom?
I wouldn't call her overbearing, just... more opinionated, more telling of how to live my life than I wanted.
Oh, okay. She knew best how to live your life.
Yeah, so I mean, I joined the Navy, so I could live my own life.
Well, that helps you be a man, though.
It absolutely did. 100% would do it again.
Rather than being a mama's boy, you see all of these women nowadays, especially because of the divorce rate, the mom's raising these sons, and they're coddling them so much. So there's a whole generation of feminine men out there that are expecting the women to do all the work because mom did all the work. That's what their picker goes for. They
see women do all the work.
Huh?
It's not just the sons. It's the daughters too.
It is the daughters. It's very sad. Give me your impression. I get all these articles about recently. I've been getting a lot of articles on online dating. How it's better now to just go out and meet people in person. And it is true. There's so many scammers on there. Some men just want to sit there and like have a little harem of people they could chat. Some of them, you know, they're not real. It's very discouraging for people. And I'm like, you can go out there and meet people in person. I think for ladies, sports bars are great. That's where the men are. Dr. Pat always says, go where the men are. And I watched a clip from Patty Stanger. She said, somebody interviewed her and said, where can you go meet men? Patty Stanger said golf courses. I agree there too. Go to the putting green, start putting. You know a man was going to come over there and help you. That's a sign. Hey, can I show you how to do a swing better? That's how you get the introduction. Tell me, where do you think that women can meet good men?
I like the golf course idea.
The golf course I think is great because then you can go in after the, for what they go into the golf thing at like 4 to 6 and have a cocktail before they go home. Perfect place to meet men.
I mean, any place that's a male dominated sports would be good.
But then I hear the women go, but I don't drink. I go, you can have a glass of soda.
Yeah, everybody drinks.
I know. It's what I bring out is it's called their safety net. I go to a sports bar, and the first thing they say is, but I don't drink alcohol. I go, you can drink soda. It's that their first instinct is to push away any information to get. It's they're keeping their walls up.
Right.
Keeps them safe from having to go out. They want to get in relationships, but they have so much guarded. They're so guarded that I can't even get them to a place without all these excuses. Churches are good. There's a lot of churches that offer singles meeting, but then you get, well, I am an atheist. I'm like, okay. Because Dr. Pat said, well, then be single.
Yeah, just because you believe something doesn't mean you have to share it.
Yeah, that's true. You can go there. I mean, there's a lot of places. Well, we're in California, but Mariners Church over there in Newport Coast, I've been there. That place is a big community. It's huge. And they have singles events. It's huge. I mean, you could spend the whole day there walking around. They have cafeteria, different sanctuaries. They have activities going on all day, especially on Sunday. And I think, yeah.
I've gone to churches that I'm not part of and just said, you know, how can we help you? And like, I'm just checking it out. And like, enjoy, you know, have fun, talk.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
if you have any questions, like, you don't have to.
You don't have to believe in that religion, but there, you know, there's good people that go there generally with good values and morals. That's a plus. And it's a, you know what? It's a community. Get into a community or some kind of a place that you enjoy. If you enjoy dancing, that might be a hard one to get guys. But if you enjoy snow skiing, you join a ski club. I know a woman who, she's a runner. She joined a running club and she's finding men in there. There's tons of stuff. There's meetup groups that do hiking. They're not extravagant hikes, but you sign up. There's so many single events nowadays, too, for different age groups. So rather than just swiping on online, get out there and meet people. Get involved. That's my suggestion. What would you suggest, Andy?
Well, I like the in-person stuff. When people reach out to me online, I'm like, okay, let's have video chat. And you know when there's a scam because they never want to chat.
Yes.
There's always some unknown future event when we get to know each other better. I'm like, okay, what's that take? And I'm going to ask you.
What do you mean get to know each other better? You know, do not fall in love with the profile and do not fall in love with the fantasy of talking on the phone or texting. That is not a real relationship. You have to meet. Don't waste your time. I have women. Remember, we've even had some women that have done long distance where they've never met the person for months.
Yeah.
And they're so in love. That's not reality. That's a fantasy.
Yeah. I remember my friend of mine was in a medical emergency. They were at the hospital, but her verbal skills were not on par with her texting skills.
Okay.
With what she wanted. She wanted me to be there and she was scared, but she didn't want to say that out loud.
Okay.
So she fumbled her words and asked for something entirely different, which didn't help our relationship.
Oh, so this is
got there,
your relationship? Oh.
What's that?
Oh, in your relationship? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's you play how you practice.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to practice this stuff, you're going to get the same results when you're playing the game.
That's true.
If you do find someone that you really like and you haven't practiced enough, you're going to fumble the ball over and over again.
That's exactly right. That's why I tell the women, even if you don't have chemistry, go out with this guy so you get comfortable knowing how to communicate your wants and not wants and be comfortable one-on-one with somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Target the boring guys. I mean, they'll more than likely happily take you out. They're interested. And you might get to the point where you get to be interested too, but you don't get that unless you're willing to put in the work. You know, I used to go to an all-day convention,
Yeah.
And I always come back with 30 seconds of gold.
Okay.
But I was never able to get that 30 seconds unless I'm willing to put in 8 hours.
Okay, yeah. You always get something out of some event. So,
yeah,
that's a good point. So when my ladies go out, I tell them, do your best to make every man fall in love with you. Well, I don't want to lead him on if I don't like him. You know what? There's a perfect solution, what we say, if you're not interested. Dr. Pat always says, go out. One date, two dates, because everybody might be a little weird on the first one. But date three, find something of interest that you can build off of. But if there's absolutely nothing, then you terminate it by, you know, he may say, can I take you out on date number three? You say, thank you so much for asking me out. However, I don't have that special chemistry that says we're a fit, and I don't want to lead you on. So I wish you well in your ventures of dating. It's called like the golden parachute, to let him off gently rather than, you know, ghosting him, or maybe even not taking a chance to get to know him because you're afraid to have to give him the, I don't want to date you anymore. That's the biggest thing, is women are afraid to let the men down. They would rather hurt themselves than hurt a man.
Which is one of the emotional ideas people use to play games.
Yes.
The 1 to 6.
Oh, yeah. They go, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I go, so you're not going to get to know him because he could be that diamond in a lump of coal. And I've also heard that chemistry is built. You're looking for compatibility, and hopefully the chemistry will follow when you have a lot of interest and you can communicate and you can, you know, same values, morals, those all build chemistry.
Can we talk about the real quick, the 6 emotional ideas people use?
Yeah, go ahead. Pull them up.
Number one is, pain will hurt me or you.
That's a big one. Yeah.
What I say, number two is, what I say will be what you hear.
Okay.
Number three is, I must feel good about what I say for it to be okay.
Okay.
Number four is, better to suffer myself than to cause you pain.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Number five, asking for my wants is selfish and impolite.
That's a big one too with my women.
I know I'm guilty of most of these things. And finally, number six is, I must approve of things I accept. You don't have to approve or like what you accept.
That's true. That happens, you know, like in relationships. One person's mad because the other person does A, B, C, D, and they think it's totally, you know, well, we'll see it, you know, with the politics. You know, one person wants Trump and the other person doesn't. Well, those are political views. So that can break up a lot of relationships. But when it's her in-laws don't are fighting with the husband over politics, they don't have to like or approve of his beliefs, but they have to, you know, understand he has a right to his beliefs. That's a hard one for people to get.
Yeah, I had a friend recently tell me that, don't talk to me unless what you're going to tell me makes sense to me and does not hurt my feelings.
Well, how do you know it's going to?
I can't control either one of those things. So
how do you know what you say is going to hurt his feelings or be, or that's a, you'll never, then you basically can't tell him anything because you're not a mind reader.
Right. It's an impossible situation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some people, yeah, that's just the way it is though. That's a hard one, hard pill to swallow when somebody communicates like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, I call them and say, hey, you know, I can't talk to you then if that's the requirement, because that's impossible.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So speaking of the communication tools on our website, drpatallen.com, we have it's like a 45-minute stream video. It's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication. It's got Dr. Pat teaching a class, and she teaches all of her tools, her relationship contract items. What else does she teach on that, Andy? I know it's a lot of information. It was like a class.
All I know is I wrote everything down across multiple different communication manuals and listening for things that I either, one, weren't quite clear to me or was new information. And the more you listen, the more you can pay attention to it, the more you can bring the unconscious to the conscious. And when you can do that, you can start to make decisions on it.
So talk more about bringing the conscious to the unconscious, because I know a lot of people, they operate on their unconscious, like automatic pilot, which sometimes is self-sabotage. They just do what's familiar, pushing people away without even realizing it.
Well, that's what we've talked about. This is, we do this because it helps us survive. And that's all the unconscious. It's the autonomous brain doing things that don't require you to think.
Yes.
And the whole idea is to make you think. So that when you think, you're bringing it from the unconscious side to the conscious side. And when you think about it, it's a slower part of your brain, but it allows you to make changes in your life.
Yes.
And if you make enough of those changes, and it takes 3 days to start to rewire the brain.
Okay.
Then that becomes your new unconscious. That's do that true. Enough times, rinse, repeat.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you've got a whole new body, a whole new way of thinking, and a whole new you.
So that's what it takes, people. They call it being aware and then catching yourself doing it and doing the new behavior. It's like a three-step thing.
Well, can we talk about that for a moment?
We got a couple minutes. Go ahead. We're almost out of time. Yeah.
Okay. So the bottom layer is awareness. It's the awe factor. That's what that means. That's what that happens. The second layer is assimilation, where you feel like an ass because you're changing your language. And then the last layer is actualize, where you act out who you're always meant to be. Mm-hmm. You don't get to actualize, and you're still willing to feel embarrassed.
Yeah, it's a new behavior. Yeah.
Yeah. And feelings are not negotiable. You can't do anything with them, but drugs, meds are dead.
Yeah.
So just my suggestion is do it, act as if until the feelings follow. Take it till you make it.
Do it enough, it becomes a habit.
Yeah, the more you do it, the easier it will become. It's like anything else.
That's true. Well, anyway, we're running out of time. I want to thank you, Andy, and thank any of the listeners. And if you want to call the office for any information, it's 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. So I want to thank you, Andy, and we'll see you back here next Thursday.
Thank you, Bye. Sue. Thank you, listeners. Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.